Before the Senate comes to order, Senator Offutt, would you come up here, please? Okay, the Senate will come to order. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Funny you should ask that, Mr. President. I do have a consent list. Mr. President, I move third reading consent list, which is as follows. It's a long list, Mr. President. Senate File 17, Cease and Transfer Priority List. Senate File 30, Notice of Hearing to Reopen Estate Amendments. Senate File 45, State Fair Board 2. Senate File 57, Board of Law Examiners Appointment, Supreme Court Rules. Senate File 64, Appropriation to State Engineer. Sounds like special legislation. Senate File 72, School Finance Recalibration, Transportation. Senate File 73, Permits for Just Small Underground Water Wells. Senate File 83, Controlled Substance Prescription Tracking. Senate File 85, Certificate of Non-Viable Birth. Senate File 91, Government Contracts, Labor Organization. Senate File 93, Child Sexual Abuse Education and Prevention. Senate File 94, Tobacco Use Non-Discrimination Repeal. Senate File 101, Property Rights, National Historic Preservation Act. Senate File 107, Lawful Fence Standards, Preemption. Senate File 111, Property Taxation, Digital Currencies. Senate File 113, Community Development Districts. Senate File 118, Kickstart Wyoming, Economic Diversification. Senate File 119, Workforce Development Priority Economic Sector Program. And Senate File 120, Government Efficiency Project.
Page 2. Do you have another page?
No. I think that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Never mind.
Having been read three separate times. I'm sorry. Does anyone want any further Senate files taken off the list? Senator Case, yes, go ahead.
Mr. President, this might be more efficient before you read the list again, but I would definitely like Senate File 85 to be off the list, and I understood that 74 was off the list. How about Senate File 101? I'd like that off the list.
Okay. Any others? Senator Meyer.
Senate File 91.
Senate File 91 off the list. Okay, any others? Any others? Having read three separate times, the question is, shall these Senate files pass the Senate? Senate File 17, Cease and Transfer Priority List. Senate File 30, Notice of Hearing to Reopen an Estate Amendment. Senate File 45, State Fair Board 2. Senate File 57, Board of Law Examiners Appointment, Supreme Court Rules. Senate File 64, Appropriation to State Engineer. Senate File 72, School Finance Recalibration Transportation. Senate File 73, Permits for Small Underground Water Wells. Senate File 83, Controlled Substance Prescription Tracking. Senate File 93, Child Sexual Abuse Education and Prevention. Senate File 94, Tobacco Use Non-Discrimination Repeal. Senate File 107, Lawful Fence Standards Preemption. Senate File 111, Property Taxation Digital Currency. Senate File 113, Community Development Districts. Senate File 118, Kickstart Wyoming Economic Diversification. Senate File 119, Workforce Development Priority Economic Sector Program. And Senate File 120, Government Efficiency Project. Before Chief Kirk calls the roll, I think that's right. Does anybody have any corrections to that? Okay. Chief Kirk, please call the roll.
On the consent list, Agar, Anderson, Anselmi Dalton, Baldwin, Barnard, Boner, Bouchard, Burns, Case, Christensen, Coe, Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Ellis?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Bumflatern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Bebout?
Aye.
On the consent list, 30I. Senate File 17, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 17, 30I. Senate File 30, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 30, 30I. Senate File 45, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 45, 30I. Senate File 57, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 57, 30I. Senate File 64, are there any changes?
Burns,
aye to no. Von Platern, aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 64. 26 aye, 4 no. Senate File 72, are there any changes? Barnard, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 72, 29 aye, 1 no. Senate File 73, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 73, 30I. Senate File 83, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 83, 30I. Senate File 93, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 93, 30I. Senate File 94, are there any changes? Ellis, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 94, 29 aye, 1 no. And lots of copy. Senate File 107, are there any changes? Von Flatern, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Wasserberger, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 107, 27 ayes, 3 no. Senate File 111, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate file 111, 30-I. Senate file 113, are there any changes? Case, I don't know. Landon, I don't know.
Bebout, I don't know.
Bebout, I to know. Moniz, I to know. Perkins, I to know. Coe, I to know. Closing. Dockstetter, I to know. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate file 113, 23 I, 7 no. Senate file 118, are there any changes? Case, I don't know. Scott, I don't know. Agar, I don't know. Bouchard, I don't know. Kinski, I don't know. Hicks, I don't know. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate file 118, 24-I, 6-no. Senate file 119, are there any changes? Case, I don't know. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate file 119, 29-I, 1-no. Senate file 120, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate file 120, 30-I.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 17, cease and transfer priority list. Senate File 30, notice of hearing to reopen in a state amendment. Senate File 45, State Fair Board 2. Senate File 57, Board of Law Examiners Appointment, Supreme Court Rules. Senate File 84, Appropriation to State Engineer. Senate File 72. I said Senate File 64. Oh. Excuse me. Senate File 84, Appropriation is... No. It's been a long day, and it's only Tuesday. Senate File 64, Appropriation of State Engineer. Senate File 72, State Finance Recalibration Transportation. Senate File 73, Permits for Small Underground Ground Water Wells. Senate File 83, Controlled Substance Prescription Tracking. Senate File 93, Child Sexual Abuse Education and Prevention. Senate File 94, excuse me, Tobacco Use Non-Discrimination Repeal. Senate File 107, Lawful Fence Standards Preemption. Senate File 111, Property Taxation, Digital Currencies. Senate File 113, Community Development District. Senate File 118, Kickstart Wyoming Economic Diversification. Senate File 119, Workforce Development Priority Economic Sector Program. And Senate File 120, Government Efficiency Project, have passed the Senate. Senate File 74, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 74, Crimes Against Critical Infrastructure, sponsored by Senator Christensen, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
Okay, we do have a third reading amendment. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 74 and ask the body for favorable consideration. Mr. President, what this does is it goes in to a couple of sections of this bill and removes provisions that have some of the most concerns. So when you look, for example, to page 3, lines 3 and 4, or 4 and 5, and page 4, lines 20 through 22. We're going into the part that talks about penalizing an organization that aids, abets, solicits, encourages, hires, conspires, commands, or procures a person to commit the crime of critical infrastructure trespass under subsection C of this section. Those entities would be subject to either the penalty that we had provided before, or imprisonment or a penalty not to exceed $1 million. And the concern, Mr. President, is the concept that this is a broad catch-all where an organization could simply encourage the trespass and receive $1 million fine, or conspiring or encouraging or abetting. That the vagueness of this provision is such that it is really up to a court judgment or perhaps a prosecutor's judgment at this point to define what that would consist of. So the concept, for example, if you see an entity that might be perhaps potentially guilty under the B provision of impeding critical infrastructure, if they're provided with bottles of water on a hot day, for example, an organization comes out and says, wow, these individuals look tired and thirsty, the $1 million potential fine, because it would be a violation at that point. It's hard to argue that if you provided water to a group that was violating this, that you have then abetted an entity in that instance. So a $1 million potential fine for that organization. That organization could be a girls' club for a community. And at that point, if they handed out water bottles to the entity, they'd be subject to up to $1 million fine. Encouraging them can be beforehand, where you simply say, yeah, we really oppose this project. It might be a positive thing if people went out and protested. All right. Well, now they're going out and they're protesting this. They end up being potentially guilty of B, impeding critical infrastructure, and now again, they're subject to $1 million fine. So, Mr. President, this goes in and deletes those provisions as well as the corresponding conforming amendments about organization elsewhere, and indicates that this part of the bill is really just going too far. The idea that you would penalize an organization for $1 million on such just grossly vague language, where there really is no sense about what would have to be accomplished. It encompasses nearly everything. There's no sense about which organizations we're talking about. It's a catch-all $1 million penalty. And again, I think that other than the fact that we might be catching an occasional $1 million to help assuage our concerns over on the school foundation program account through the penalties, I don't know that there's any upside to this particular provision, and I would urge the body to support this third reading amendment number one and try to narrow this legislation down a little bit. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator Nethercott.
Thank you, Mr. President. Maybe to provide some clarity about the concerns of that particular provision, I believe the language is taken from our current criminal statutes for accessory before the fact, which states a person who knowingly aids or abets in the commission of a felony, or who counsels, encourages, hires, commands, or procures a felony to be committed, is an accessory before the fact, and obviously can be indicted or convicted. Additionally, and similar statutory language can be found from conspiracy, a person is guilty of conspiracy to commit a crime if he agrees with one or more persons that they or one or more of them will commit a crime, and does an overt act to affect the objective of the agreement. Additionally, solicitation to commit a felony is a person is guilty of solicitation to commit a felony if, with the intent that a felony be committed, he commands, encourages, or facilitates the commission of that crime under circumstances strongly corroborative of the intention that the crime be committed, but the solicited crime is not attempted or committed. What's important and what's distinctual here is that these particular concepts are already found within our law, but they don't apply to organizations. And so what I think is really an injustice is that organizations can encourage people to go commit crimes without being held responsible, and yet the individual who is perhaps being paid or being encouraged to go commit the crime suffers all of the consequences. And so this particular bill attempts to put that responsibility on the culpable party and discourage that type of behavior in a very organized way. And so for that reason, that's on and against the amendment.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, there is a big, large organization that helps people in earthquakes and after fires, and they will never turn down. They will never take a position, but they will never turn down somebody that's hungry, starving, thirsty, and yet they will never get caught by this because they are not encouraging. And I believe that anybody that hands out water to somebody that's very thirsty on a hot day will never get caught in this and never intended to get caught in this. And that's an organization that works worldwide in some Midwest or Mideastern countries. They change their name slightly, but to not offend. But I would say that they would, if we believe the organizations would be busted for assisting these people in their thirst, then you would probably have to believe this organization would be caught too.
Further discussion? Okay, before this, anybody else before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Senator Rossless, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Mr. President, the reason I did bring this and was concerned about that is the fact that we have instances of humanitarian organizations being prosecuted, not in the state level, but at the federal level, for abetting criminals. And it specifically was the water bottle example, where we have individuals that are suffering and there are water bottle drops that were put out along the way. The water bottles then triggered criminal charges because it was abetting what was a known criminal transgression. So the idea that nobody would be caught up in this if they actually just helped from a humanitarian standpoint honestly doesn't stand up to what we're seeing in some instances around the country right now. So again, this is a catch-all, and it's an awkward catch-all. If it were narrowly the for example, commanding an individual to commit a crime, that's very different from the idea of basically providing some semblance of aid. We're talking about $1 million potential penalty here. This is not small. This is not something that we're looking at elsewhere in statute. It's the idea that an organization, Mr. President, can be three people. It doesn't have to be the hundreds of thousands of individuals or the thousands of nameless folks out there where they have a treasure trove of several $1 million based on donors each year. It can be three people. You can have an organization of three that's hit with a $1 million penalty because they hand out water bottles. That's a reasonable interpretation of the statute that we're about to try and pass through the Senate. I think the body should be cautious about that. There was pushback in previous discussion about this being broadly overreaching. Those are legitimate concerns. And I realize that we like to think in this chamber that everyone will always make the right decision when they prosecute. But if we set the language broad enough, intimidation will ensue. There is the possibility of overreach. And I can't imagine a circumstance where we do end up penalizing a humanitarian entity because they hand water or food to somebody who is committing a crime, and they're wrapped up then with a potential $1 million penalty. We can do better than this language. I understand the intent, Mr. President, but I hope the body will adopt this amendment and help to constrain what is a very, very broad piece of legislation that has potential implications far beyond, I think, the intent of the bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 74. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
That amendment has failed. Senate File 74 having been read 3 separate times. The question is, shall the Senate File pass the Senate? Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton? No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer? Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss? No. Scott?
Aye.
Von Plater?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 25 aye, 5 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 74 has passed the Senate. Senate File 85, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 85, Certificate of Nonviable Birth, sponsored by Senator Boner, an act relating to vital records.
Discussion, Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, we have had a lot of discussion about this bill, and I think in the long three-day weekend, some facts have been kind of cleared up about the bill for us. One fact is that the organization that represents medical professions in the state of Wyoming has come out strongly against this bill. I have continued to have people reach out to me and tell me their stories, and many of those have been medical professionals in all aspects, several from my hometown, several from around the state. Universally, the medical professionals are opposed to this bill. Mr. President, I swear the reach out I've had, I have, it's been at least 10 to 1. It's higher than that of people that are just tore up by this bill and think it is unnecessary. It's a horrific intrusion into their lives, and they're disappointed that we're taking this up. I hope that we can consider all the input we've had. Consider that we have a role that's kind of special, obviously, that it deals with the fact that we have to bring all sides together. And this bill is very divisive, and its passage would cause a lot of pain, and I think more pain than would help. And in this instance, I would ask that senators put their personal feelings aside and that they think about whether this is good for Wyoming, think about the contacts that you've had from your constituents, and think about the position of the medical professionals. And I hope you'll all join me in voting this bill down.
Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you. I wasn't going to rise on this bill, but over the weekend I had occasion to reach out to some of the healthcare professionals in my district, and I have a beautiful district. I hope that many of you who have been around the state of Wyoming have stopped there once in a while. It happens to include two of the finest hospitals in our state. It also includes a world-class orthopedic surgical center, and it includes our community health center. And so, needless to say, I'm always very concerned and very interested in any bill which touches on our healthcare professions. This one, folks, because all of the healthcare professionals that I reached out to really don't like this bill, that's the reason I don't like this bill. But there's another reason, Mr. President. I get a little bit of heartburn any time we begin to get in the way of that doctor-patient privilege, and I think this bill does that. And so for that reason, I'll be a no on this bill, Mr. President. Thank you.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I want to thank you for giving us all the opportunity to go back and talk to our constituents. And I had the opportunity, Monday is our Rotary meeting, and I had the opportunity to sit back and next to two folks from our hospital that are in administrative function. And, Mr. President, this bill wasn't on their radar. It didn't even come up. So, Mr. President, you know, frankly, I'm not in tune with the good constituents from different parts of the state, but the constituents in my part of the state, that there wasn't even suggested. Nothing.
Okay, we had Senator Peterson, and then we'll move on around.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just briefly, I wasn't going to get up either. I served on the committee that heard this in our Labor and Health Committee and saw some heartfelt feelings there demonstrated and shown to us, heartfelt testimony. But I was able to talk to my spouse, and we have gone through some of those experiences as a couple, and her position was somewhat enlightening to me. She said, you know, now if this were not to pass, then they're impeding on my right to have some type of a certificate. And let's not forget, folks, back up just a little bit. A lot of our information is coming from the original bill. It's been softened up immensely. There's no more shall in there. It's all an option. The first question the doctor asked my wife after her experience was, would you like to know the sex? She'd carried that for 4 months. Would you like to know the sex? Her immediate response was no. So we honored that. I didn't even know. But it was just last year, she came to me and she said, you know, I wish I would have known. I wish now I would have, looking back, I wish. At the time, no. But what's wrong with the doctor being there present, feeling the situation, asking, knowing probably the answer that they're going to get, asking the question, would you like a certificate? No. Fine. End of story. Or, yes, I would. That would be fantastic. I would appreciate that. There's nothing wrong with this bill. And I resented the fact in some of the testimonies offered that men were not feeling, that men, this was not our bailiwick. Or I resented that. I was there right alongside. I felt the pain just as much as my wife did. So it was a decision. It was hard. The bill's been softened up. It's still an option. You want it, fine. If you don't, fine. It's not putting anybody out. It's not putting the doctor in an uneasy position. He knows whether to ask the question or not. If the situation's right, the doctor will ask. If it's not, the doctor doesn't have to ask. We're not forcing anybody to do anything. But it's an option if it's available as an option. So I'd ask your support on this bill.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the bill. I've spoken to a lot of my family members. I have a very large family, and unfortunately, one in eight pregnancies end up in a miscarriage these days. And we've had a bunch in our family, and even my daughter, and I've spoken to almost everyone in my family, and they would 100% say that this would not have been helpful in their instances. And I've spoken to our medical community here as well. Without exception, all of the folks that deal with pregnancies, the OBGYN folks, tell me that this is really not correct. This is medically not correct. This is really not a birth. So to call it a non-viable birth is not correct medically. And while they do are thankful for the amendment that we made that allows the may rather than the shall, they still think that the medical community thinks it's probably not a wise way to go. Also, I think that it's a personal matter. It's a very personal matter. And I think the legislature ought to stay out of those personal matters, and that it needs to be, these people are going through a lot of pain and agony and suffering, and I just don't think we need it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Boehner.
Hey, thank you, Mr. President. I certainly appreciate the discussion, and I just want to reiterate a few points which have already been made. I understand that this bill has caused a lot of consternation out in our districts, but I want to point out that it is the intentional misrepresentation what this bill does and does not do which has caused that consternation. And by my perspective, as my fellow committee member pointed out, there's nothing required by this piece of legislation. Even the information we got from the society, which represents doctors, doesn't seem to acknowledge that basic fact. It doesn't acknowledge the basic fact that the only paperwork required is at the patient's request. I'd like to see a doctor that would complain about doing a little bit extra paperwork if it's at the request of one of their patients, if it's going to help in some modest way. And dealing with a difficult circumstance. So, ladies and gentlemen, I understand that we've got a lot of feedback. I still maintain that if you look at what the bill actually is, especially after we amended it on second reading, that almost all of that, if not all of that concern is not founded in what the bill actually says. So that's just want to point that out and point out that, I was conscious about coordinating this piece of legislation with our medical professionals, and I got that same email that everybody else did last evening coming saying that they were going to go from neutral to opposing this bill. So I think we've talked about this. We all know what the bill actually says. We know the discussion surrounding it. Everybody has to do what they think's best for their district, and I'd just like to move on from this discussion.
Further discussion? Question being called for. Senate File 85, having been read three separate times. The question is, shall Senate File 85 pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar? Aye. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton? No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen? No. Co?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
No.
Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern? No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 12 aye, 18 no.
Having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 85 has failed to pass the Senate. Senate File 91, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 91, Government Contracts Labor Organization, sponsored by Senator Anderson, an act relating to public works and contracts.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I took a look at this, and I'll read the first line of page 2. I think it really says something that I think we all aspire to. It says the legislature finds the intent of this section is to provide for more economical, non-discriminatory, neutral, and efficient procurement of construction-related services by governmental entities. Mr. President, I read that, and then I went down to line 15, Romanet I. And essentially, from what I can tell, this particular section is so broad that it outlaws labor organizations in any manner in construction-related projects. And so it says it's a term that requires, prefers, or prohibits. So that's both sides of the door, prefers or prohibits a bidder, offeror, contractor, or subcontractor from entering into or adhering to an agreement with a labor organization in regard to a construction-related project. So, Mr. President, a person in the construction business can neither prefer or prohibit anybody from dealing with a labor organization. And, Mr. President, I got to thinking about it in regards to the grandest capital construction project that this state, I think, has ever seen. I had an opportunity to talk to a gentleman that was an electrician. I think he was a journeyman. Belonged to a labor organization. He went down to the local union and said, is there a job at the Capitol? And, Mr. President, there's no Wyoming electricians at that point in time were working on the Capitol building. Irregardless of the fact that we've got a 5% preference for all bidders that you're supposed to carry so many Wyoming contractors or so many Wyoming people on the job. And Mr. President, I don't care if a person's in a labor union or whether they're not in a labor union. I do care if they're Wyoming folks and they can't work on Wyoming projects. And this one sentence here is so overly broad that essentially if you want to hire somebody in a labor union or a contractor for a local labor union to provide labor, you're prohibited from doing it. So I think it's gone way too far. I certainly agree with the first sentence in subsection A. I think that's a laudable goal. But the truth of the matter, Mr. President, is it's put asunder in lines 15 through 18.
Further discussion. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, we had this bill in committee, and let me see if I can explain that, that's intended to say that we aren't going to either force or prohibit the hiring of union or non-union contractors. That's a factor, whether it's a union contractor or a non-union contractor. That's not going to enter into whether we have a take a bid from them, give them the project. It's neutral on that. So I have difficulty with the notion that it's prohibiting us from hiring a union contractor. It explicitly allows it. It allows us to do the same with a non-union contractor. It says we aren't going to pay attention to that. And frankly, Mr. President, the testimony we had in committee was that we weren't seeing this as a problem yet, but the labor organizations would clearly like to go out marketing and make it a problem. So I think that we're seeing things go bump in the night if you think that it's prohibiting union shops. It's explicitly allowing them to bid on these contracts.
Further discussion. Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, I would agree with the tall senator from Bates Creek. This paragraph that is referred to lets everyone bid. What we're after is everyone being able to bid, not just a signatory contractor or subcontractor. Everybody should be allowed to bid. And what it's saying is they should not put a term in there that requires, prefers, or prohibits a bidder. That's what we're trying to get them not to put in the PLA. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion. Senator Hastert.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, I was going to just not speak on this, but since my good colleague decided to bring it off and spoke so eloquently about this, and Mr. President, I would disagree with the two senators from the central part of the state. This is, a problem looking for a solution, and it's not really, or a solution looking for a problem, I guess I should say. But anyway, it's, PLAs don't prevent non-union folks from bidding on it. I think the good senator that first spoke here hit the nail on the head as far as, it's the capital project. You're looking at that non-Wyoming people on that. You don't have, there's not a job there for union people. I got to tell you, Mr. President, this is something that is in, you talk about in the toolbox for local communities, and if they want that and have that option, they should also have that. I think this is kind of overreaching to what into the communities, and we have usually have a rule of not doing that. And Mr. President, if the state of Wyoming were ever to build a nuclear power plant, for example, you'd want something like this. I'm in against.
Okay, thank you. Further discussion? Okay, question being called for. Senate file 91 having read three separate times. The question shall Senate file pass the Senate. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton? No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case? No. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladen?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. Senate file 91, 25 aye, 5 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the members elected of the Senate, Senate file 91 has passed the Senate. Senate File 97, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 97, Medicaid and SNAP Eligibility Requirements 2, sponsored by Senator Hicks.
We have several amendments. The reading clerk, please read in third reading amendment number 1.
Senate File 97, third reading amendment number 1, delete the...
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I'd move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 97. Ladies and gentlemen, this just goes in and deletes the second reading amendment that was brought. That amendment, for your refresher, brought in another exemption, and it exempted enrolled members of the Eastern Shoshone and Northern Arapaho tribes and any other eligible person under under federal government's authority. And I think the reason I wanted to pull this off, because I think we need a little more explanation as to why that exemption may or may not be appropriate. The way the bill's constructed now, it equally requires a work requirement for all able-bodied people across the state of Wyoming. It doesn't. The exemptions are for people that can't work. Either they're physically incapable, they're caring for elderly people, or they're under the age of 18. There's a whole list of those exemptions in there. I just wonder the necessity of identifying ethnicity is a reason that we would want to exempt one group out, and that's what the amendment does. It just repeals that one. So, on and forward.
Further discussion? Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, we put that amendment on to recognize the federal government's treaty obligations to Native American folks in Wyoming. This is people that are served by Indian Health Service. There's no work requirement for that service. That is the reason the amendment is on. I ask that you hold it.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. And just a point of clarification, members of federally recognized tribes aren't just distinguished based on a racial identity. It's more of a political one because they're political members of a separate sovereign. So I just wanted to make that distinction to the body. So I'd urge you to reject the amendment as well.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I too would urge you to reject this particular amendment. We've encountered this a number of other times in dealing with this any health subject that relates to the reservation. It's a little strange the way the federal government meets its obligations, but we need this exemption so they can, because that obligation is an obligation that is independent. Mr. President, their economic status, the individual.
Just a second, Senator Hicks. Anybody else for the first time? Okay, Senator Hicks, for your second time.
Mr. President, with that explanation was what I was trying to get to. I'm going to withdraw the amendment.
Okay, without objection, that amendment has been withdrawn. Third reading amendment number 2. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
Senate File 97, third reading amendment number 2, page 8, lines 1 through 4.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this second amendment to Senate File 97. Mr. President, I've been thinking about the problem since we had the committee hearing. And at the committee hearing, Director of the Department of Health came and testified and was very careful to say that he did not say that he was for or against the bill. But he raised, if there was an objection to it, that he missed, it wasn't for lack of trying. He did not like the bill, and my conclusion is that with the number of objections and the lack of enthusiasm, when we suggested some ways around some of his objections, my conclusion is the current health department will not seek to implement this successfully. And, Mr. President, my experience, before I came back home to Wyoming, I worked 5 years for the federal government. And I kept hearing the bureaucracy tell to its political masters, and I was part of the bureaucracy but working for the political arm, you can't do this because the states won't let you. When I'm here, I hear our bureaucracy saying, you can't do this because the feds won't let you. And I think what happens is the bureaucrats go arrange their world, Mr. President, to suit themselves and play each other off against each other. And I think that's what would happen here. I think the health department, for whatever reasons, whether ideological or empire building, wants to have more people on Medicaid as opposed to things that would take some of them off, as opposed to work requirements. So what this amendment does is it delays the effective date until the new administration comes in. We'll have a fresh set of eyes there, because that position normally turns over with the governor, and we'll have an honest attempt to get a good, workable waiver here so that we can go ahead and do this. And I'm a little afraid under the current circumstances they just spin their wheels and come back and say it's going to cost more than you could ever possibly imagine. So for that reason, I urge you to adopt this amendment, which just makes the act effective January 1, 2019.
Further discussion? Okay, question being called for. We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 97. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Senate File, or third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 97. Reading clerk, please read in that amendment.
Senate File 97, third reading amendment number 3, page 5, line 18.
Senator Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Senate or third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 97 and encourage your aye vote. This essentially goes in on page 5. Line 18 and 19, the punitive period for if you're found in violation of this act was automatically 12 months. And in discussion with many, including in research of the state that first did this, they are facing a legal challenge that now has felt that the 12 months may be too punitive and that those patients that are deleted from the system will then become a burden on the medical system, on the hospitals, on the medical providers. They're not going to stop going to the hospitals. They're not going to stop going to the doctor. But at that time, then, they're not going to have Medicaid. My proposal is to delete the 12 months and insert a 30 days for the first offense and then 6 months for subsequent offenses, which would lessen the burden on the hospitals and on the physicians and those who are providing care. And those who are truly not going to follow us, those able bodies that are going to break it, they're going to break it anyway, and this will save the hospitals and those folks from that punitive damage and from having to treat these patients anyway. But at least they'll have the benefit of the Medicaid when they do treat them. And with that, I would ask for questions and encourage your aye vote.
Further discussion? Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, and I'm sympathetic for the discussion and the impact, but the impact by changing it to 30 days is substantial. And effectively what it does is not only does it come back to the Department of Health for verification, it also pulls in Workforce Service that has to do the compliance check on the work, so all of a sudden we're just creating a tremendous more government responsibility for every 30 days. They could go on 30 days, come off 30 days, go on 30 days, go off 30 days. I'm sympathetic to maybe soften a little bit. It's unfortunately this coming as a third reading amendment, but I'm telling you, you're going to tie up two state agencies with trying to track 3,500 people whether they're on and off. And let's keep in mind, this is not extremely rigorous to stay on. It's a combination of community service, work, education, workforce training. There's a whole list of combination of things that you can be eligible for. It's not that egregious of a list to have to comply with. I just think the 30 days creates an absolutely unworkable, untenable situation for our agencies, two of them, to be able to track this. So on and against the amendment.
Okay, further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time. Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, on and against it, I, again, appreciate the intent, but think about the bigger issue here. And by softening it, are we sending a clear message or a confusing message or a workaround? I think we'd keep it simple, find out what the real problem is as we go forward, and then deal with that if we need to.
Further discussion? Ready to vote? Okay, I heard a yep. Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 97. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Nope.
Opposed, no?
No.
That amendment has failed. Division being called for. All in favor, please stand. What happened to Meyer, right? You got one guy sleeping.
There you go.
Okay. Okay. I knew you had one sleeping.
I have two guys.
Those opposed, please stand. Just take away the consequences for your actions and then screw the state at the same time. You want criminals to get free health care. 17.
I get it.
16 would be right. Just a second. All opposed, please stand.
25-4.
That amendment has failed, 13-16. Actually, 17. Chair voted no. Okay, Senate File 97, having read. Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, first of all, before I go on and against Senate File 97, I will say that you can understand why I thought we needed division with the chorus of eyes nearby.
Senator Rothfuss, I'm always trying to figure out where you're coming from, and that just adds to the confusion. But go ahead, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm against Senate File 97, and I didn't have the opportunity to debate this on Committee of the Whole, but I wanted to reflect on some of my concerns about Senate File 97. And really, it comes down to how we implement Medicaid in the state of Wyoming. Medicaid and SNAP in the state of Wyoming, first of all, Medicaid is a categorical eligibility. Nobody qualifies for Medicaid in the state of Wyoming because they don't make money alone. That's not the reason. You have to not make sufficient money and fall into one of the categories that establishes eligibility. So the concern I have is when you look through the categories that establish eligibility in the state of Wyoming, I have no idea why this chamber would want any of them to go out and get a job. It just doesn't make sense. If we had expanded Medicaid, for example, and we had able-bodied individuals that were part of the Medicaid program, then some of these provisions would make sense. But when we go through the categorical provisions, it doesn't make a lot of sense, Mr. President. And, for example, going through the categories, aged, blind, disabled, intellectually disabled, developmentally disabled, ABI, that's 26%. I don't think we're probably wanting them to go out and get a job. We actually have programs for a lot of them to get jobs, and we try and facilitate that wherever possible, but I can't imagine that the purpose of this legislation is to ensure that those individuals who are specifically excluded based on the definitions within Senate File 97 are somehow going to go out and get that. 25% of our expenditures are for children and those eligible. Children, yeah, do we want them to work? We actually have other laws, I think, that prohibit that, but in this instance, I'm not sure we want them to work. I suspect that that's a carve-out. Aged, blind, disabled, long-term care. Again, probably not who we're targeting. Aged, blind, disabled, supplemental security income. Again, I don't know that we're targeting that population. Is that who we want to go out and get jobs? Now we get to the category of adults. I assume this is where we're worried that people are fleecing the system. But remember, adults alone is not sufficient category. To be qualified as an adult, you have to be the adult caretaker or relative of a dependent child. And to get it yourself, you need to have less than 56% of the federal poverty level of income. 56% of the federal poverty level. You can't be fleecing the system at 56%. You're raising kids. They actually are back in the other category. But Mr. President, I would assert that if you're at 56% of federal poverty level, you're probably out there trying to find a job whenever you can, maybe two or three jobs. That's a hardship. Nobody's enjoying life at 56% of the federal poverty level when they're responsible for children. It's just not happening. Pregnant women, the next category. So you're eligible as a pregnant woman, and again, do we want that individual to go out and get a job? If they're pregnant, we want to say, I'm sorry, you're not working. You're out of here. We're not going to cover the child care, the neonatal, the prenatal that individual needs. I don't think that's what we're going for, and that's 5%. And then we get back into categories like aged, blind, disabled, employed, individuals with disabilities. Those are already employed, would be exempt. Medicare savings programs are 5% or 1% of the budget, aged, blind, disabled institution, special groups and screening. So that's the budget we're talking about. The only category we're probably looking at here are this small number of adults that may or may not already have a job that are below 56% of the federal poverty level. And, Mr. President, I would assert they're probably looking for a job. So what problem are we trying to solve here with this bill? We heard from testimony from advocates for the bill that it's going to be a bureaucratic nightmare to manage this if we have to manage it too frequently. And it probably is. This is a lot of work. But we don't have a fiscal note, Mr. President. We don't know how much time or energy it's going to take from the department to track these individuals, of which 3,500 was the maximum number that includes all of those adults, and really we have no realistic view of how many actually will be pointed to where they say, hey, you need to go get a job, even though you're at 55% of the federal poverty level and are trying to take care of three kids. So, Mr. President, I understand how we get to these places where we want able-bodied individuals to be working. But Medicaid in Wyoming is not about able-bodied individuals. We don't provide coverage for them.
15
I
seconds.
Standing up here trying to expand Medicaid, so we will, so you can run.
No, let's stick to the amendment, Senator Office. Time's up.
I would urge the body to defeat this legislation. And again, we're not covering the people that we think we're covering.
Thanks for the help.
Further discussion. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, very briefly, the people at 56% of the federal poverty level, that's exactly who we want to reach with this. That's the population that we reached with the welfare reform, because the work requirement was enormously successful. That's the people that need a little bit of a helping hand to get a better job. They're the ones that really need a better job. They'll be better off with this bill. That's where this bill is going. And that's in terms of the Medicaid population. It's a relatively small number. The 3,500 was the number we heard. But it will make a difference for those people and a positive difference.
Further discussion. Senate File 97 has been read three separate times. The question is, shall the Senate File pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
No.
No. Wasterberger?
Aye.
President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. Senate File 97, 25 aye, 5 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 97 has passed the Senate. Senate File 99, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 99, State Fairgrounds Horse Racing Events, sponsored by Senator Driscoll, an act relating to the state fairgrounds.
Okay, we have several amendments. Reading. Clerk, please read in third reading amendment number 1.
Senate File 99, third reading amendment number 1, page 195.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, I would move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 99. And to explain the purpose of this simple amendment, I would direct your attention to the hand-drawn chart that I've placed upon all your desks. What this will show to you is, having been convinced by the sponsor that this is a good idea, this amendment allows the state fairgrounds to benefit more than would be the case under current law. So the first page shows current law on this type of racing. So on the left, you see the total take. Then you see the payout, because it's a Calcutta type. So that's an 80.6 minimum up to a maximum of 88%, which is where the paramutual commission has set it. Next, you see local government by law cannot get more than 1%. Next, you see the permittee, the people running and operating the kiosks, can make anywhere between 10.5% to 17.9%, depending on where the payout is set by the Paramutual Commission. And then at the bottom, the Paramutual Commission, by law, can earn no more than 0.5%. Go to the next paragraph, or the next page, and it's the same deal, only on live horse racing. The only difference is, at the bottom, the Paramutual Commission gets 1.5% instead of 1% because they have more expenses on live racing. What this proposal is if you go to the next page, the third page, Fairgrounds Law, Historic Horse Racing Kiosks, the payout remains the same, 80.6% to 88%. But now, instead of the permittee being guaranteed between 10.5% to 17.9%, the law says, Board, as you have two permittees trying to get your business, negotiate the best deal for you can above the 1% minimum. So now it says the new Fairgrounds Board can negotiate. They get their minimum of 1%. They can negotiate up to 18.9%, which they wouldn't because clearly the permittee has expenses. The permittee is in a range between 0 and 17.9. What they do is they negotiate somewhere in there as they solicit the proposals. Are you going to give us 1 or 2 or 3? And that all goes into a capital construction and major maintenance fund for the fairgrounds, not for operations, not for personnel. And the next one is the same deal, only the Paramutual Commission gets the 1%. So it allows our state fair board to negotiate a better deal than the minimums they are held to under current law. The second major feature of it is the money goes into a capital improvement account so that the fairgrounds cannot simply expand staff and still be out of money for the fairgrounds. And then the third is not contingent on a study or feasibility. The feasibility study is, let's get started, come back and review it in 3 or 4 years, and then sunset it or extend it. We know this is going to be successful. Everywhere they've done this, it's been successful. Let's get started with it, but let's allow the State Fair Board to negotiate a better deal than the bare minimum of 1%. So, turning to the amendment very quickly, how much time do I have, Mr. President?
You got time, but make it short.
Very quickly, on the amendment, under paragraph B, you see that the funds shall be expended on line 20, expended only for capital construction costs and for maintenance of the flat track. Line 24, after the flat track is constructed and maintained, it goes to major maintenance and capital construction for the fairgrounds. Line 34 is current law. There's a competitive bid process. The big change is lines 42 to 43, where it says the contract between the board and the permittee may provide for additional amounts remitted to the account of the fair boards, as the fair board and the permittee may agree upon. Get in the room and negotiate it. On page 3, 1 to 7, gives the state board the right of audit of the records. And then on page 2, 11 to 20, again, is part of setting up that capital account. And then the last, section 3, simply says we're going to come back and review it on to an interim committee no later than 2020. And sunset it if it's not working, otherwise we'd have an opportunity to extend it. This is a great opportunity for the fairgrounds. It's a great opportunity for the fair board, and I would urge your favorable consideration of the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, I'm on here, and I'd like to speak on amendment number one. Not even sure how to put this exactly. It's a third reading amendment. We kind of came up with the deal. The original bill works as it stands. It also works as it's written. But as we've written it now, some of the support we had from industry and the other are no longer there. And I'm not going to speak for or against hard on it, other than to encourage everybody to think about it on third reading amendment.
Okay, now that we understand, Senator Christensen.
On and against the amendment, Mr. President. This is a program that's been working, and before we start making those kind of big changes, for one facility, and I'm a supporter of State Fair, spent a lot of years attending. I think we need to be careful and make sure this actually is a workable solution. It'd probably fit better as an interim topic where they could actually study it and talk with people, both in the community and the county and also in the industry.
Okay, I saw some others jumping up. Senator Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm opposed to the amendment. I think it's a little premature. Let's give the board an opportunity to get organized and decide what they're going to do. There was a collaborative effort on this, on Senate File 99. With this amendment, they're opposed to it. So I would ask you to vote against this amendment.
Senator Boehner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just point out that this amendment does give the board the maximum amount of flexibility in that negotiation process. It does a lot of good things, too, like directing those profits to buildings and maintenance. For those reasons, I think we should give this amendment fair consideration. The point is well taken that, you know, this is happening on third reading. Certainly, I understand it's a lot of changes to make, but I think it's something that we can continue to discuss it if this bill moves forward. So,
anybody else for their first time? Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and against the amendment, we really need to figure out that study needs to be in there because we need to figure out what's going on with the racetrack, and frankly, I think that we put a lot of work in this. I applaud the sponsors' attempt to make it a better bill. That's something we should all strive for. However, I'm not sure that we've hit that mark with this amendment.
Okay, Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think that standing on and against the amendment, I think we've got so many moving parts with new fair boards and so many different things coming into State Fair, I believe this would probably be best left as an interim topic, and I urge its defeat.
Okay, I saw someone else wanting to jump up. Okay, anybody else before the sponsor speaks for a second time? You want to?
Thank you, Mr. President. Speaking very briefly, the board can simply negotiate 1%, and it'd be no change. It'd be no change from current law. Or they can say, we'd like 2 or 3. It's a board composed of intelligent adult individuals. The only people that it would impair is the permittees, and they are incentivized to come in and give their best deal to the board. This is not any more complicated than just sticking them with the 1% minimum. These board members are intelligent individuals. It won't be that difficult to say, how much over 1% are you willing to give us on and for the amendment? Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, I don't see any money in this, so we're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 99. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
That amendment has failed. Okay, third reading amendment number 2. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
Senate File 99, third reading amendment number 2, page 6, line 21.
Senator Driscoll. You got an amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I move for adoption of Senate File 99, second reading amendment.
Third
reading amendment number 2. Folks, what this does is when the study's done, assuming the bill passes, just reverts the remainder of the $2 million back to the State Fair. You can vote it up, vote it down. The people that put it together additionally wanted it to stay in the State Fair. We've got some people that want it out, so up or down.
Okay, further discussion, Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, the whole intent of this pot of money, this $2 million, was to come from horse racing to help reinvest and take care of the facilities so that the counties are not on the hook with their own funding. And so if they're not going to build the track, rather than give it to State Fair for general work, I think it needs to go back to the fund where that county could still apply for it at some future point with a mechanism that's been put together by an earlier bill that's moved through.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, reluctantly, I'm speaking on and against this bill, and I'll explain why.
The bill or the amendment?
Amendment, second amendment reading to Senate File 90. Third reading, second amendment to 99. And why I think this is probably a good idea to have a revision. This board won't even be set until September of this year. And you're telling them to start to do all this horse racing stuff, that they have to make a final decision by June 30th of 2019. It's going to take a couple of meetings for this board just to get the grasp on what they're chartered with. Again, I think the idea of the revision is good. I just think this is going to happen too fast and too quick, and we're going to rush into something that's going to obfuscate the board's ability to make good decisions.
Okay, further discussion. Senator Boehner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm certainly on against this amendment. I appreciate the discussion about how frustrating it is to have facilities that you have to dump money into at the county level. That's what the Commerce County government has been doing for I don't know how long with the state fairgrounds. There's at least $50,000 every year just from the county. It's not counting the municipality that goes to maintenance and of the fairground and the facilities. So because of that, because of the burden placed upon the county and local government to maintain what is a state facility, I think it's entirely appropriate that we ensure that at least some funds remain to help out with those what is ultimately a state-run facility. So on against the amendment.
Further discussion. Senator Christian, for your second time.
Mr. President, I'd heard part of what the sponsor said and didn't see all the amendment. I would just like to change my position. My announced position. I think I'm in support for this bill because it does what I originally thought.
The bill or the amendment?
The amendment, because it puts the money back into Paramutual where the counties can access it. That's what this amendment does, is it keeps Paramutual and that fund intact.
No.
That's what it says.
Speak to me there, Senator Christian. What do you want to do?
I'm going with the amendment. I think the amendment actually does what we want it to do.
Just
let's read the amendment.
Now that we all clearly understand what Senator Christensen said, any other discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Senator, just question being called for. We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 99. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no?
No.
Come
on.
I believe that amendment has failed. Senate File 99 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the Senate file pass the Senate? Will the Chief Clerk? Just a second. Senator Burns, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right, Mr. President. Before we're back on the bill itself, I've heard that some people have dropped out from the narrative during these amendments, but I would like to hear more about that because I've been out of the loop. I've been up in the northern part of the state for the weekend. So if I could hear...
We got it.
Everybody was aligned last time I heard.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, as it now stands, everybody is on board, including we had missed the city of Glen Rock. Glen Rock, I believe, is now in at this point in time. So, no, the entire group is all still together. They had concerns with the amendments. So as far as the bill goes, this is a good bill. It does great things for State Fair, and I encourage an aye vote.
Further discussion. Okay, Senate File 99, having read three separate times. The question is, shall the Senate File pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar.
Aye.
Aye. Anderson.
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton. Anselmi Dalton. No. Baldwin.
Aye.
Aye. Barnard.
Aye.
Aye. Boehner.
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard.
Aye.
Aye. Burns.
Aye.
Aye. Case. No. Christensen.
No.
No. Koch.
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter. No. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert? No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Plater?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 99, 24 ayes, 6 no.
Senate File 99, having received affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 99 has passed the Senate. Senate File 100, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 100, Economic Diversification Broadband Services, sponsored by the Management Council, an act relating to economic diversification.
Just a second. Do we have an amendment? Reading clerk, please read in the first amendment, third reading amendment number one.
Senate File 100, third reading amendment number one. Delete the...
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 100 and ask the body for favorable consideration. Mr. President, this is a technical correction. We passed something that is very similar to this on second reading, but we had forgotten the, on line 35, page 1, the previous version read, to a business corridor in an incorporated area of a county, which to the best of everyone's understanding meant a municipality, which the rest of the legislation covered. So looking back into it, it was supposed to be an unincorporated area of a county, which would then address all of the concerns of the good tall senator from Bates Creek. So this is a technical correction, and we also had a little bit of discussion last time about a business corridor. So on page 2, there is a new definition, or actually it's the desire for the Wyoming Business Council to, by rule, establish a definition of business corridor for the purposes of this article so that we can make sure that we're properly categorizing that, particularly with regard to the unincorporated area. So, Mr. President, technical correction. Hope the body will support it.
Further discussion. We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 100. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Senate File 100, having read three separate times, is the question is, shall the Senate File pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson? Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard? No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Koch?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercutt?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 100, 25 aye, 5 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 100 has passed the Senate. Senate File 101, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 101, Private Property Rights, National Historic Preservation Act, sponsored by Senator Boner, an act relating to the administration of government.
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, I really do question the need for this bill. And, Mr. President, it's... I question whether it should be codified in our statute portion of our laws. I also kind of question the need for the bill. You know, when this first came out, it had a lot of discussion about just getting rid of the National Historic Preservation Act entirely or being totally against it. And we realized in our discussions that this act is very valuable to property owners in Wyoming and does lots of good things, and that really the bill was brought on the basis of just a couple of unfortunate situations. Probably, Mr. President, I'll speculate less than 5% of all the interactions that this law comes, maybe even much, much, much less. So do we, like, pass bills like this based on that kind of a track record? I think we're kind of better than that. You know, typically the implementation of the National Historic Preservation Act is based on collaboration, close communication between landowners and agencies. It's a positive, generally positive model of how we can enshrine some of our very important to us historic places in Wyoming. And I would just ask that we not approve this bill, Mr. President. I don't see where it does anything whatsoever. Even it's a gummer at the worst, I suppose. Well, it's a gummer at its best, and it is a terrible, uninformed statement of the significance of historical preservation at its worst, and I ask us to oppose it.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Federal Natural Resources Committee spent a lot of time on this, and it's the issue of the mineral development, especially in the southern Powder River. And as we move both horizontally in our drilling and as we come over to the Pinedale area and we get into more federal minerals, even though they may only be a couple percent of your total drilling area and you're strictly on private ground, we still have the federal government telling us and waiting on some holding up the APDs, the drilling applications, just for this reason, just because they think there may be something historical about the area. So please, let's vote for this bill. Let's not think that this is an isolated incident. It is not.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, on and for the bill, and in fact, the Federal Natural Resources Committee has taken this up 2 years in a row, and it's not specifically a minerals-related issue. It's a landowner's issue. It's if you're doing activities on federal lands, which include, in fact, we had significant discussions this year between the governor's office, the state of Wyoming, our SHPO, and the BLM, because it's not only just minerals hampering our ability to protect sage grouse, the National Historic Preservation Act. You can't go whack a juniper tree to get rid of a threat to sage grouse. I mean, I could fill up the Jonah building with horror stories from landowners and the agricultural community that has been subjected to extreme regulation, delays, increased cost, lack of being able to get things done on both their federal grazing permits, even to clean stock reservoirs that they're mandated under their grazing permit to clean, and then they can't clean them because we can't get an archaeologist out there to clear the sediment that's accumulated for 30 years. It's more than just the minerals industry. It crosses all boundaries, and that's why it came to the Select Federal Natural Resource Committee. Again, it's not the act that's the problem. If you speak to the resolution is how the federal agencies implement it. And there is absolutely no consistency across the board.
Further discussion? Senator Boner?
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I'd just like to point out that at no point did this legislation ever say that we need to get rid of the National Historic Preservation Act. It never said that. We can look it up and realize that was never the case. I appreciate the input from you, my colleagues, to have a more balanced approach and pointing out the benefits of the National Historic Preservation Act, and we've amended the bill to address those concerns. But to those who think that they're is no value in this bill, I point out that this is a part of a broader effort. As my colleagues have already stated, as I've stated numerous times already on this piece of legislation, that is useful for pointing out when the federal government is operating, frankly, outside the intent of the National Historic Preservation Act. It helps get those folks who are outside of the lawful intent of that law back in line with what they're supposed to be doing, with what the National Historic Preservation Act is supposed to be. So there is a serious impact on our economy. There's, depending on who you talk to, between 71 and 150 permits being held up because of this confusion in federal policy. And that's serious money, ladies and gentlemen. If that one well of the 150 or so is at $40 a barrel, produces 400 barrels a year, that's $500,000 to the state of Wyoming that we're losing out on. So this is serious business. It affects everybody. Because it affects revenue streams to the state government. We've had a significant or some success in the interim with our select National Resource Management Committee just by having hearings. There's already been considerable movement in the way that, for the good, in the way the federal government implements this act. So this is just a continuation of those efforts. And it's vital that we send a unified message that we respect the National Historic Preservation Act, but we're always going to stand up against abuses under that act. So that's what this bill is about. I urge your support.
Further discussion. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I've got real problems with this bill, and I'll tell you why. Just going back to just the previous speaker, you want to send a message, you do a resolution. If somebody is acting outside of the National Historic Preservation Act, you propose legislation that's actually going to punish them. You bring a bill that actually does something. This bill does nothing. I don't understand why it wasn't a resolution in the first place. Are any of those 150 wells going to be speeded up because this is passed? Does anybody in Washington spend their time going through Wyoming statutes to see what our opinion is on something? If we're going to send a message, we do it by resolution. I don't understand what this bill accomplishes. I don't understand what it does.
Further discussion. Okay, question being called for. Senate file 101, having read three separate times. The question is, shall the Senate file pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott? Conflict. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate file 101, 20 aye, 9 no, 1 conflict.
Having received an affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate file 101 has passed the Senate. Senate file 108, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 108, Economic Diversification and Development, sponsored by the Management Council, an act relating to economic diversification and development.
Okay, we have an amendment. Will the reading clerk please read in third reading amendment number one?
Senate File 108, third reading amendment number one, corrected copy.
Senator Hicks.
On line five.
Mr. President, I move third meeting amendment number one to Senate File 108. I'm just going to make this brief. The only thing this does is go into the meat. The meat of this whole thing is down in 16 through 40. And what the amendment does is it would require the business council, at the request of the Endow Executive Council, to staff two positions in there as needed once Endow identifies a specific project, resource, or purpose that they would like to see additional research move forward. They could conduct detailed research on specific resources, commodities, or industry sectors, identify technology, logistical impediments to the development of individual resources. They could propose research that needed to be conducted, and then also try to serve as a bridge between companies and the University of Wyoming. This just tries to put a fine point on. When we bring in, as you go up to line 20, WS-912-106, that's the planning and research section under the current business council charter. What this does is put a fine point on that. So if that Endow Executive Council determines, and Mr. Chairman, probably best way to illustrate this would be to give you a hypothetical example. We know in the state of Wyoming that we have billions of dollars of lithium locked up in the groundwater in the Red Desert of Wyoming. If this was a direction that we wanted to pursue and the executive council decided this is something that they really wanted to drill down on a specific resource issue, it would allow them to have a staff come in and do all the research from a standpoint as what the technological barriers are, what the logistical barriers are from being able to effectively mine that, marry that up with researchers at the University of Wyoming, take those researchers and then find those companies that work in those fields, try to marry that up, and try to develop. Keep in mind, this is supposed to be a 20-year economic development plan. So as we identify those resources of those industry sectors, what this would allow them to do is start to put that executive council, put a fine point, and have an individual that is chartered with that responsibility to comply with all these things as directed and supervised by the executive council with Endo. Vote it up, vote it down. That's all the amendment does.
Okay, further discussion. Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple questions. This is the way I understood this. Basically, Agendow is the way this is set up. The example doesn't even fit. I'm not sure I'm totally opposed to it, but third reading, it's really hard to track what the impacts on the actual program that was put together was. This entire bill is set up pretty well driven around ag, not around lithium or anything else. So I think it probably takes a little more debate than the third reading amendment. I'd encourage you to vote it down.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also agree that, according to the last speaker, that we have agriculture in this bill and we have some Endow statutes that needed to be upgraded. And that is it. This goes into quite a bit on third reading. And in reality, on page 5, if you go to the bill, it actually talks about the community university and the community colleges getting together, developing recommendations regarding opportunities to better coordinate existing public and private programs and develop or acquire existing career technical education facilities and so forth. So really what is on here is already in the bill. It is aimed more directly at ag than it is other products, but we have $2.4 million. If you get two staff positions, which may or may not have to be added according to how busy they are at the business council, but that's what this amendment's recommending, is probably two more people, which would eat up a lot of your $2 million, which 2.4, which 400,000 is going to over to a marketing company, and this $2 million would probably be eaten up by this studies here. So I recommend that we do defeat this amendment.
Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time. Further discussion. You ready for the question?
Question
being called for. We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 108. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no?
No.
That amendment has failed. Senate File 108 having read 3 separate times. The question is, shall the Senate File pass the Senate? Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Igar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Koch?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladen?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. Senate File 108, 27 aye, 3 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 108 has passed the Senate. Senate Joint Resolution 4, third reading of the Joint Resolution.
Senate Joint Resolution 4, Public School Financing, sponsored by Senator Ellis, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to specify that the legislature has the authority to determine the amount of public school funding.
Okay, we do have a third reading amendment. Would the reading clerk please read that amendment in?
Senate Joint Resolution 4, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 5.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution 4 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. We had some really great discussion on this resolution on first reading, but one issue did arise about this language about whether or not the legislature can consider currently available revenues. And in thinking about it, you know, certainly it isn't the intention that down the road, as the state of Wyoming looks at the needs of education, there certainly will be instances where the state will want to take action to increase revenue. And I think there was concern that that language might prohibit that action, and that certainly wasn't my intent. So with that, Mr. Chairman, you'll see this amendment, which would remove the currently available revenues language from the text of the actual constitutional amendment, as well as conforming amendments throughout the document. So happy to answer any questions.
Further discussion? We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution 4. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Back on the Senate Joint Resolution. This requires two-thirds vote. Senate Joint Resolution 4, having read three separate times, the question is, shall the Joint Resolution pass the Senate? Once again, it requires two-thirds vote. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar.
Aye.
Aye. Anderson.
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton.
No.
No. Baldwin.
Aye.
Aye. Barnard.
Aye.
Aye. Boner.
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Aye. Case.
Aye.
Aye. Christensen.
No.
No. Coe.
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter.
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll.
Aye.
Aye. Ellis.
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich.
No.
No. Hastert.
No.
No. Hicks.
Aye.
Aye. Kinski.
Aye.
Aye. Landon.
Aye.
Aye. Meyer.
Aye.
Aye. Moniz.
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott. Aye. Pappas. No. Perkins.
Aye.
Aye. Peterson.
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss.
No.
No. Scott.
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern.
No.
No. Wasserberger.
No.
No. President Bebout.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate Joint Resolution 4, 22 aye, 8 no.
Senate Joint Resolution 4, having received two-thirds vote from the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate Joint Resolution 4 has passed the Senate. Introduction of bills. First reading, House Bill 17. Reading clerk, please read that in.
House Bill 17, Child Support Amendments, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to child support. Passed the House, ayes 45, no 12, excused 3.
House Bill 17, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 64, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 64, Use of Hemp Extracts, sponsored by Representative Blake. Passed the House, ayes 40, noes 18, excused 2.
House Bill 64, referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 22, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 22, Quebec 1, Missile Alert Facility Fees, sponsored by the Travel Committee. Passed the House, ayes 53, noes 4, excused 3.
House Bill 22, refer to Committee Number 6, Travel. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, are we ready for consideration of bills on general file or Plan B?
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I'm the Floor Leader. You're the Floor Leader.
You know, it tells you where I am.
Yeah, I'm the...
You know, we had an awfully long week, and actually I think we don't have that many bills to consider tomorrow. My understanding is the state that's ahead of us on some of these Bitcoin bills, which are 19 and 70, are already ahead of us, so I don't know that one more day is going to make any difference on those. So with that...
Before you make the motion, let me get some messages from the House then. Messages from the House. I think I know where you're headed, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
We're done for the day.
From the House of Representatives, February 27, 2018. Mr. President, the following bills passed the House in an amended form. Message number 136, House Bill 2, Election Law Violations, Penalties and Enforcement, ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 139, House Bill number 10, Workers' Compensation Extraterritorial Reciprocity, Ayes 58, Excuse 2. Message number 140, House Bill number 18, Non-Resident Employer Bonding, Ayes 56, Noes 2, Excuse 2. Message number 143, House Bill number 32, School Finance Major Maintenance Formula, Ayes 48, Noes 10, Excuse 2. Message number 146, House Bill 39, Wildlife Conservation License Plates, Ayes 42, Noes 16, Excuse 2. Message number 147, House Bill number 41, Hemp Extract Revisions, Ayes 57, Noes 1, Excuse 2. Message number 153, House Bill number 93, Speeding Fines Amendments 2, Ayes 54, Noes 4, Excuse 2. Message number 156, House Bill number 103, Wyoming Legal Tender Act, Ayes 44, Noes 14, Excuse 2. Message number 158, House Bill number 114, Expungement of Juvenile Records, Ayes 54, Noes 4, Excuse 2. Message number 159, House Bill number 117, Domestic Abuse, Adverse Landlord Actions and Phone Numbers, Ayes 58, Excuse 2. Message number 163, House Bill number 130, State Fair Endowment, Sub number 1. Ayes 58, Excuse 2. Message number 165, House Bill number 144, Wyoming Invests Now Exemption Amendments. Ayes 57, Noes 1, Excuse 2. Message number 167, House Bill number 152, Wind Energy Equipment Storage. Ayes 53, Noes 5, Excuse 2. Message number 168, House Bill number 153, Hathaway Expand Wyoming Scholarships. Ayes 47, Noes 11, Excuse 2. Message number 170, House Bill number 162, Penitentiary Savings Fund Amendments, Ayes 53, Noes 5, Excuse 2. Message number 172, House Bill number 170, Wyoming Children's Trust Fund Amendments, Ayes 58, Excuse 2. Message number 173, House Bill number 172, Produced Water Treatment, Ayes 38, Noes 20, Excuse 2. Message number 174, House Bill number 191, Termination of Parental Rights, Child Support Obligation, Ayes 58, Excuse 2. Message number 177, House Joint Resolution number 5, Yellowstone Wildlife Conservation Fee, Ayes 41, Noes 17, Excuse 2. Message number 178, House Joint Resolution number 8, 150th Anniversary of the 1868 Treaty of Fort Bridger, Ayes 58, Excuse 2. Message number 179, House Bill number 13, Municipal Extraterritorial Jurisdiction Repeal, Ayes 47, Noes 11, Excuse 2. Message number 180, House Bill number 14, Municipal Jurisdiction, Ayes 50, Noes 8, Excuse 2. Message number 183, House Bill number 36, Move Over Requirement, Ayes 46, Noes 11, Excuse 3. Message number 184, House Bill number 42, Justice Reform Graduated Sanctions, Ayes 58, Excuse 2. Message number 185, House Bill number 53, State Educational Program, Ayes 39, Noes 17, Excused 4. Message number 186, House Bill number 55, Property Offenses, Ayes 37, Noes 20, Excused 3. Message number 188, House Bill number 84, Approval of Bridge Designs, Plans, and Specifications, Ayes 56, Excused 4. Message number 189, House Bill number 86, Medicaid Birth Cost Recovery, Ayes 38, Noes 19, Excused 3. Message number 190, House Bill number 108, Estelle Real, Ayes 46, Noes 11, Excused 3. Message number 191, House Bill number 129, Glider Kit Vehicles, Title and Registration, Ayes 57, Excused 3. Message number 192, House Bill 133, Display of National Motto, Ayes 46, noes 10, excused 4. Message number 194, House Bill 157, Healthcare Providers Sexual Assault Protections 2. Ayes 52, noes 5, excused 3. Message number 195, House Bill number 163, Physician Non-Compete Clause. Ayes 43, noes 14, excused 3. Message number 196, House Bill 175, Common College Transcripts. Ayes 56, noes 1, excused 3. From the House of Representatives, February 27, 2018, Mr. President, the following bills passed the House on third reading. House Bill number 3, County Clerk Map Recording Fees Conforming Amendment. Ayes 56, noes 2. Message number 138, House Bill number 6, Research and Wildlife Information Confidentiality. Ayes 50, noes 8, excused 2. Message number 141, House Bill number 26, Post-Conviction Relief. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 142, House Bill 31, Hathaway Scholarship Application Deadline Extension. Ayes 32, noes 26, excused 2. Message number 144, House Bill 33, School Finance Capital Construction Amendments. Ayes 50, noes 8, excused 2. Message number 145, House Bill 35, Motor Club Services Updates. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2. Message number 148, House Bill 58, Game Animal Licenses Limitations. Ayes 56, noes 6, excused 2. Message number 149, House Bill 61, Roadside Waiver of Property Rights Prohibited. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2. Message number 150, House Bill 66, Purchase of Water Rights and Facilities. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 151, House Bill 69, Impersonation Through Electronic Means Spoofing. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 152, House Bill 77, In-Stream Flow Consultant. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 154, House Bill 99, Prescription and Possession of FDA-Approved Drugs. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 155, House Bill 100, State Emergency Response Commission Membership. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 157, House Bill 106, Municipal Court Authority Conditional Suspension of Fines. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 160, House Bill 119, Genetic Information Privacy. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 161, House Bill 122, Special Educators Workers' Compensation. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 162, House Bill 125, Wyoming Lottery Revenues. Ayes 52, noes 6, excused 2. Message number 164, House Bill 141, Concealed Weapons in Places of Worship. Ayes 56, noes 2, excused 2. Message number 166, House Bill 146, Equal Pay Penalties. Ayes 56, noes 2, excused 2. Message number 169, House Bill number 156, State Songs. Ayes 34, noes 24, excused 2. Message number 171, House Bill 164, Overweight Vehicles, Agriculture Exemptions. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 175, House Bill 192, Legislator Communications on Recordings and Broadcasts. Ayes 58, excused 2. Message number 176, House Joint Resolution 2, Commercial Driver's License Compact Agreement. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2. Message number 187, House Bill 64, Use of Hemp Extracts. Ayes 40, noes 18, excused 2. Message number 182, House Bill 22, Quebec One Missile Alert Facility Fees. Ayes 53, noes 4, excused 3. Message number 181, House Bill number 17, Child Support Amendments. Ayes 45, noes 12, excused 3. That's from the House of Representatives, February 27, 2018. Message number 193. Mr. President, the following bill failed to pass the House third reading. House Bill 135, Housing Authorities. Ayes 25, noes 32, excused 3. Signed, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Aren't there any more? Senator Landon.
Mr. President, I think our reading clerk deserves an ovation for that.
Hey!
Hear, hear! Mr. President, the man with the golden throat. Well done.
Boy, that's for sure. Thank you for going through all that. As it occurred to me with all those bills, for the committee chairs, we'll try to spread those around a little bit so we can try to get to all those bills. We'll see what we can do. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that finally does clear my desk.
Boy, I hope so. So anyway, with that, Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 10 a.m. on Wednesday, February the 28th.
Announcements. Senator Von Flatern.
Committee number 9, Mr. President, Minerals and Economic Development will meet about 15 minutes after noon recess tomorrow in Jonah Room, S18, to consider House Bill 101 engrossed electronic corporate records.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. Committee members note the time. Jonah Room, S-27, House Bill 9, engrossed obsolete reporting Department of Workforce Services, the only bill we had in possession at the deadline.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 2 appropriations will meet tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. in Jonah Room 18, S-18, where we will have just a discussion on the budget bill and the House's amendments and our amendments.
Any other announcements? Senator Agar.
Privilege of the floor for just
you
a moment,
may.
Mr. President. I just wanted to remind the body that the Capitol Commission Bible study is tomorrow morning at 6:30.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? Okay, you've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. I'm glad nobody said that. We are adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow, Wednesday, February 28th.